to A Jungian and a Witch podcast. I'm your co-host, Molly, the queen behind Queen of Cups Apothecary and your resident witch. This is my dad, Steve, a Jungian analyst with over 30 years experience, a master's in divinity, and a myth expert. Join us as I get the Jungian perspective on a wide range of witchy topics. Welcome to another episode. Today, Dad and I are talking about Beltane. Beltane is a holiday. This is part of our Sabbat series that we'll be doing this first year as we're starting the podcast, and we'll cover all of the Sabbats on the Wheel of the Year. And Beltane is one of our cross-quarter Sabbats. It's the beginning of summer. It is on April 30th to May 1st, and if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, will be actually tomorrow. So we're going to cover some of the history, the mythology, and some of the important elements of Beltane, like sacred fire, libido, and preservation, health, all of those things that we are looking to celebrate on Beltane. And I hope you enjoy our discussion. All right. Welcome back, Dad, for another week.
Here we are.
Here we are. So we started out the whole podcast with Ostara, and this coming up week is Beltane. So I thought we would, as we go through this first year, that we would talk about each of the Sabbats, because I'm calling on your myth expertise here. And I have from a book that I got several years ago when I was first getting into this, and it's Llewellyn's Sabbat series. So they have a book for each of the Sabbats. And I mean, they're pretty nice. They go through some of the lore and stuff like that. And, you know, and then they have different ways you can celebrate. So I thought I would go through just for a quick explanation for, I know most of the witchy people who are listening to this are going to know what this is about, but maybe I'm not sure if the Jungian people really, do you guys learn about the Sabbats?
No, not exactly. No.
Okay. There's the Wheel of the Year, and the Wheel of the Year has four major holidays on the solstices and the equinoxes. And then if you divide those in half, you have the quarter ones. And so cross quarter are Beltane, Lunasa, and Samhain and Imbolc. These are just ways of celebrating the changings of the seasons. And Beltane is also called May Day. So it's April 30th to May 1st. But I'm assuming that changes a little bit if you look at the actual map of where the stars are and when the actual physical point between the equinox and the solstice is. And so Beltane in particular was celebrating the beginning of summer, and it is about protecting livestock as a big thing and for a good harvest. And I'm just reading through my notes here. So, and then they go on and they talk about, in this book, several different references, basically, for the mythology. And this is what I was really interested in, was your take on these. So it first talks about triple goddess and the horned god. You know, basically, they get the goddess pregnant, and that's the, you know, fertilizing the land and all of that. They also talk about the Oak King and the Holly King. They go on to talk about the Druids here, going way back to the Celtic god Belinus, who was recognized as a healing deity that goes back to prehistoric times, it says. I'm interested. I think we can go back and reference more of these as we go on, but from your mythological standpoint, I'd like to know what you know about Beltane.
Let's see. First of all, you left out the bonfires.
Bonfires.
That's yes. The big, big mm-hmm. deal.
Yeah. Well, in passing the cows between the bonfires, that was the
and
to protect them.
It says in Wikipedia that it's sort of the renewal of fire ceremony, and that all the household fires were doused and then relit from the Beltane bonfire.
Oh, okay.
And there are many, many parallels to that. Also, the relighting of the fires. and the sacred fire. So sort of Beltane's the original Burning Man, right?
Nice. Nice.
For instance,
The original Burning Man. I like that. I'm gonna start calling it that from now on.
Well, there's a lot here. You know that I wrote my dissertation on the psychology of time.
Yes, I know that, and now the listeners know that as well.
And because I thought time is the most fascinating thing in the world, and I've been obsessed with time since I was a teenager, and trying to figure out time, like what is time? How does it work? And so I wanted something interesting for my dissertation, so I chose time. And I went to my thesis advisor, and she said, "Steve, what do you want to do?" "Oh, psychology of time." And
I love this story.
she kind of cocked her head and said, "Well, that's interesting. Like, what about time?" And I said, "All of time."
All of time, just all of it.
So there I was on page 642,
Oh,
time,
jeez.
the early years, and she said, "Steve, you got to stop. Just stop. Stop." It's like, you have this thing on the Babylonian New Year's festival. That by itself is a dissertation. Just do the Babylonian New Year's festival. Stop, quit, turn it in, done. And that's what I did. So that, in fact, my dissertation came out later as the book Archetype of Renewal. So that's one of my books. But it's just my dissertation about the Babylonian New Year's ceremony, and that New Year's is the oldest holiday in the world, back even to the very first book in the world, the Epic of Gilgamesh, because that book starts with Gilgamesh was on the road to Ur for the New Year's festival. Even back then, as I said, I could give a whole dissertation on the Babylonian New Year's festival, but it has to do with cyclical time. So that's actually what you're talking about in
Yes, the
your
wheel of the year.
which community. And that is a very specific way of dealing with time. And you would say there are elements of cyclical time which remain even now in modern times, but the cyclical view is not our basic conception anymore. You would say that the modern conception, which again is modern, it was people all over the world have been cyclical since Neolithic times, but modern time is called progressive time. So there is no wheel.
It's just a line.
It's a line that is rising because, as you know, as time goes by, things get better and better.
Get better?
That's
Question mark.
the progressive view of time. Aren't things better now than they were 20 years ago? Aren't things better now than they were 100 years ago?
I don't
That's,
know.
well, that's the modern progressive time. Whereas in the cyclical view of time, the world, the entire, well, the cosmos is recreated every New Year's Day. The entire world is recreated. And on the first day, it is pure, pristine, the best it's ever going to be.
It's a whole
That's
new year.
brand new. And that's still, you see that in our own New Year's ceremony, right? Right, with the old man and the New Year's baby thing. It's like it's born. But it's not just the year is born, the cosmos is reborn. But in cyclical time, every day that goes by, every month that goes by, everything gets worse and worse. It is decaying.
Into chaos,
So that by the end of the year, that is essentially the old trope that the king must die. Long live the king, the new king. That's the death and rebirth of the king. So that by the end of the year, everything is worn out, corrupted, irredeemable. And then in the New Year's ceremonies, there are various rituals of cleaning and throwing out the old year. And you'll still see a lot of legends and folk tales and things about how you're supposed to throw out stuff, you know, at New Year's. It's bad luck to bring old stuff over into the new. That's very, very ancient and comes from this cyclical view of time.
And I think we
So,
talked about that in Ostara a little bit, but now it's moving on, right? So we had our Ostara and things started fresh and new, and now we're at this midpoint of, May Day,
well,
and it's the, start of summer and things are starting to get green
right.
and
And also, you know, May Day is more as it came into British culture.
Yeah, more
It
modernized for
is
sure.
left. I mean, I like the old name Beltane, but it is very much related to May Day, because it serves the same function. And then again, whatever day it is, it's the same all over the world, that there is, in fact, the rites of spring. Maybe you've heard that term.
The rites of spring.
And that's what Beltane is. So here's a very kind of complicated concept, that it has to do with the different eras of human development. So, for instance, you said one of your references mentioned that some of the ceremonies of Beltane go back to prehistoric times.
Yes, yeah, that's what
Yeah,
it said.
well,
Neolithic.
let us say, yeah, we don't use that ex prehistoric. I mean, what does that even mean? So, in terms of human development, we use the term Paleolithic. And there's the old Paleolithic and the new Paleolithic. And that is, in a video when I had to go through this, I had an illustration of imagining a road 10 miles long. And that's the history of humanity from 70,000 years ago. So, which would be apparently the last evolutionary change, the beginning of modern humanity, was somewhere between 70, 75,000 years ago. There was a change, and everything came from that. So on that 10-mile road, if that's our timeline, 8.8 miles were lived in the Paleolithic era. Everything since the beginning of the Neolithic is only 1.8 miles. That's how new everything is compared to prehistoric times. So Beltane is a Neolithic ceremony from a Neolithic culture. And so we need, and all rites of spring, that comes from the Neolithic. The Paleolithic is essentially human beings were organized in hunter-gatherer bands of human beings. So the original social unit of all human beings is the band. So, like other primates, they all live in bands. They don't live alone. There are
They're groups.
a band, but it's a small
Social
group.
species.
A band, I always say, is 20 to 50 individual humans, primates, which is essentially, I always say, two families plus hangers-on. Be
Well, and they had so many kids back then too,
because,
right? So.
because the brilliance of the way the band works is that two families plus hangers-on is just enough genetic diversity for the band to keep reproducing for can be hundreds and hundreds of years the same band. But in the hunter-gatherer lifestyle, see, this is before the Neolithic Revolution, which
Yeah,
is
before domestication
the
and all that.
domestication of plants and animals. That's the big change for the Neolithic. Prior to that, you were wandering around looking for berries and hunting. And so
And
there it,
moving with the herd and
and
all of that.
no, no herd. Well, if you were following the buffalo or
Yeah,
some,
that's what I'm talking about.
but not your own herd. It takes the Neolithic period, which was essentially 10,000 years ago, for there to 12,000 years ago, excuse me, 12,000 years ago. And that was a big change in culture and the way to live, to have. So that is the invention. If it's crops being raised, then it's a village. If it's animals, a herd, of cows, that then it's a tribe, a nomadic tribe.
Yeah, that makes sense. Right. You
And
gotta move them
that
around so they can eat.
everything in the culture and all the mythology revolves around the crops and the herd.
In the herd, of course.
So that the rituals are for ensuring
Right, food, right? Because we want to make sure we don't die.
right.
Very important. You got to appease the gods.
And also that the animals will be fruitful. Also, you want new calves and things, and replenish the herd, and that's the Neolithic lifestyle. So, for instance, it is based, the reason it is cyclical, it is based on the lunar calendar. The Neolithic era is based on a lunar calendar because you can observe the moon.
Yeah, it's much more easy to observe the moon than it is to
The sort of
observe our.
scientific technical requirements to understand when there's a solstice and when there's an equinox are very difficult, requiring precise observations and things like that. So that would be the Bronze Age revolution coming out of the Neolithic for the very first time, as we talked about the ziggurats and things, and
Yeah, I was gonna say the man on top of the tower is watching the sunrise and everything.
So that's a whole different lifestyle, and the invention of the first cities. So in the Neolithic era, and everything we're talking about with Beltane, there are no cities. There are villages, and there are tribes of herders. So like
No
in
cities.
Scotland, for instance, which was part of the Celtic culture, that and that is part of Beltane. It'd be when the cattle are taken to the summer pastures from their winter pasturing, and the summer pastures are up more in the mountains
Yeah, that would make sense.
because it's warm enough now. For the winter, they have to be brought down,
It's too cold, yeah.
but then and then there is, how do you know which day it's okay
And that's tricky
to.
because things like the full moon is going to change when it is, right?
Well,
It's not always the same date.
speaking of time, right, is that also it is very difficult to coordinate a lunar calendar with a solar calendar because they don't go together at all. It's not the same cycle. Speaking of the cycles, everything about a solar calendar, remember, that is later Bronze Age, having a solar calendar. And wherever we see, again, the months of the year, by definition, are lunar. Month means moon, month, same word.
Oh, I actually didn't know
So
that.
it goes back to Neolithic times. But then when the solar calendar came along, that word is called, it has to be intercalculated with the solar. So, right,
Intercalculated.
there are not 12 lunar months. There's a bit more than 12 in a solar year. So that's why, say for instance, the Jewish calendar, again going back to Neolithic times, is based on the moon. Then came the solar calendar. So every now and then, is it about every 4 years, something like that, there's an intercalculated 13th month, which now then reconciles and starts again the lunar calendar with the solar
Yeah, so we don't get totally off.
calendar, because as you know,
That
in
makes
our
sense.
solar calendar, 30, 31 days, the scientist of Julius Caesar had a very hard time trying to figure out how to do this, because the lunar, of course, is 28 days,
28 days. Yeah,
and
exactly.
they don't match, they don't line up. So we're talking about a Neolithic culture, and the Celtic culture was a Neolithic culture. And we think of, like I said in my video, it's not like there are bright lines in history, and that everybody says, oh, now we're going to live in the Neolithic, and everybody's going to gonna have this kind of lifestyle.
Right,
And then, about 3500 BCE, oh, not now we're gonna live in the Bronze Age, and everybody's gonna have this kind of lifestyle. No. So they're side by side.
Exactly.
Let's say in Roman Britain, which is essentially, in the first century of the Common Era, Roman Britain, well, Rome was a highly developed Iron Age culture.
Yeah, they
But
took over everything.
when they crossed the channel, the people living there were living in the Neolithic lifestyle. They had villages and raised crops, and they had animals, and they had tribes. So they could exist side by side up for a long time. And that's why, until essentially towards the end of the Western Roman Empire, the Celtic culture carried on as a Neolithic culture side by side with an Iron Age culture, but then eventually adopted all the ways of the Iron Age culture. So this is where we get to what is called syncretism. To again, there's not a bright line, and then you say, okay, well, now we're just gonna forget all this lunar stuff, and now we're gonna have a solar calendar, and everybody just and there are gonna be 30 days in a month. And you see people like, I was raised with 28 days, and I don't like this new stuff. And also, we have these holidays, and we like celebrating our holidays.
Yeah, of course we
And
do.
this new stuff, I don't know even what you guys are talking about. And so,
Why
and
would we
like,
have a solar calendar? That's so weird.
right. So again, like the Christian Christmas, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Previously was
Yule.
in Mithraism, the day of the sun. So there's all of the underlying, and that the people who practice Mithra, they celebrated on December 25th. By definition, it's a solar calendar if it's December 25th. And also the Roman festival of Saturnalia, the 12 days of Saturnalia. So the syncretism is, okay, yes, you could still have your 12 days, and you can still celebrate the day of the sun. We're just gonna call it Christmas, right? But it's the same festival. So that is one way in which Beltane became May Day. It's like,
May
oh,
Day,
it's like, yeah, all the old people out in the sticks, are still doing this.
Erecting maypoles.
The
There was a
old
whole thing
real,
in the book about maypoles and
right?
how they
The
were evil and like the
Well,
people, they had to take them down and all that.
see this, you remember in our episode on mythology. I mean, what happens when two mythologies crash into each other?
Oh, right. And one of the ships sink, right? And then people have to cling on to their door or whatever they find. Maypoles are the door this time.
Well, no, they're evil because Christianity won out, obviously, and had an interest in trying to eradicate the old religion. And again, this is where this pejorative word pagan comes in. See, it's like, oh, you got that's pagan. Pagan is evil.
That blanket statement.
And that's why the maypole, in fact, a lot of things about Beltane are evil, if you really
If you come from a Christian
Well,
perspective, definitely.
and I would say, in a good way, evil.
In a good way. Evil in a good way.
But
Oh,
that,
Dad.
so there's a wonderful series of novels by Mary Stuart about Merlin. It's three novels that go through the whole Arthurian legend from the point of view of Merlin.
From is that Mists of Avalon or is that the different one?
That's different. This is The Crystal Cave
Oh yeah, okay, I've read
is
these.
one of them, and what's the other? And they're really good.
They are really good.
But she takes this exactly what we're talking about and makes that a premise of the novel, that Merlin is part of the Neolithic religious tradition. and practicing the old ways, colliding with the new Christianity coming over, which she has set in the post-Roman Britain. That's like 500 in the common era, and that this clash was going on, and that Merlin was a Druid,
Yes, he was.
and the old magic still clung to the Druids. So what is a Druid, for instance? And this would be a whole nother episode, in the long
Could
run.
talk about druids for a whole hour.
Do you know what a shaman is?
Shaman's a spiritual leader, right?
The shaman is an individual mystic person who then, and shamanism is the original religion. Shamanism and animism is a part of Paleolithic culture.
Okay, but don't we have shamans across all sorts of different like religious practices?
Well, again, they are syncretized.
Well, yeah, of course they're syncretized, but in essence they're a
A
shaman, right?
shamanistic function. And so Druid is, of course, Neolithic, not Paleolithic, but there is the echo of the old shaman in Druids. And by the way, a witch is the shaman.
Okay. So
And
someone who deals with the esoteric, basically,
it
or
goes back to Paleolithic times. Think about
okay.
that. And there, as we talked about before, there are witches in every culture. And again, but the old Paleolithic has been syncretized with, and so new stuff, but the echo of it is there. So, for instance, in the change in the Neolithic mythology, because it has to do with planting and the herd, is the era of the mother goddess. So that's what is distinctive about Neolithic religion. And then this has a great deal to do with Beltane, is the mother goddess. And then you see that the men priests are the servant of the mother in Neolithic religion. And again, that all changed in the Bronze Age when male gods replaced the great mother, because a different culture, a different way of doing things. So you have these fertility rites, the rites of spring, which have to do with the mother.
Of course.
Okay. So there are at least two forms of magic. A fertility rite is what kind of magic? A fertility rite is magic.
It's
A practice of, it's called sympathetic magic.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wondering where
Sympathetic
you were going with that. Sympathetic.
magic, and another kind of magic is called apotropaic magic.
That one I'm not familiar with.
Oh,
Okay.
well,
Apotropaic?
apotropaic. Everyone's familiar with it, they just don't know the word or really understand what they're doing. But the superstitions still, apotropaic superstitions just continue. People just don't know what they are. For instance, if I sneeze, achoo, you say, what do you say?
Gesundheit, tight because I don't like saying bless you, but
Okay. Why?
it goes, it must have deep origins because
It's a
everybody does it.
protective spell.
Okay, yeah, I don't want whatever is making you sneeze, so I'm gonna say a
I'm gonna
protective
say good
spell.
health.
Yeah, good health
To
to you.
no, good health to me.
To me,
No, I don't get your evil spirits coming out of your mouth.
Good health.
Yes, it's crossing the
We're
fingers.
crossing our
It
fingers. Hang on.
is. That's the essence of apotropaic. Or like, so if you say bless you, it really means bless me. Like, so that, and this,
We're crossing
okay.
our fingers for those who
And this
can't
is
see
the
us.
origin of jewelry, which is why everybody knows this, is that the original function of jewelry
Was
is
protection.
a talisman, a magic object
Talisman, yeah.
to protect the orifices, ears,
Or the hands, yeah.
hands, nose, mouth, from evil spirits getting in.
Makes sense. Yeah.
So you wear the talisman, and it's the spell that wards off the.
Right.
Okay,
I've thought about rings and necklaces before, but I'm thinking I'm gonna have to do something for my nose rings and my earrings now. That gives me some new ideas, Dad. Thanks.
oh, great.
Not more piercings. I have enough piercings.
Thank you.
I'm just gonna
Okay.
enchant the ones I already have.
There you go. So that's apotropaic ma magic, but
Okay.
what is sympathetic magic?
That's more passive, right?
No, it is the kind of magic that is trying to induce a certain
Oh.
outcome, as in Beltane, or
Right.
all the rites of spring, is that our goal is fertility, so that
Exactly.
the
Yeah.
crops grow the
Well,
herd
and
grow and the herd
yeah.
grows,
And health is another
and
big one in there.
that we feel powerless. We feel like
Right, because there's no control.
we're subject to the weather. We could have a drought, we could have a
Right.
flood, and then right, if we don't get crops this summer, it's going to be very tough next winter.
So we're
So
gonna pass our cattle between two bonfires and then, appease the gods, and so that's more sympathetic magic.
what is fire an image of, at least in this Neolithic context?
Fire is like the creation of life, basically, right? It
Right.
is an embodiment of life force energy.
Which in this case would be sort of male energy,
Okay.
the impregnating energy.
Destructive energy too, I guess. Yeah.
And so we're inducing the procreative gods, both the feminine as the receiving, the masculine as the procreating.
Giving, yes.
And that by seeing us do this, they will do the same.
Yeah, that's what they hope anyway.
No, it's a hope. It's
It's not a hope thing involved. It's a, what word would you use then?
so when we talk about symbols and signs, right, in that episode, you remember that it's a sign when there's a one-to-one correspondence.
Correct. Yeah.
This is like a one-to-one correspondence. Is that
Okay.
we did this,
We did
therefore,
the thing.
then the other thing will happen.
Okay. Then what did they do
And
if
you're
it didn't happen?
then they would say, we must have done something wrong.
Okay.
We did not do the ritual correctly,
Right.
because the one-to-one, right, is that
Right.
it always works. This spell, so
Mm.
if you call it a ritual, you
Right.
call it a casting a spell. I
Right.
mean, it's the same thinking. Always works,
Right. Right.
unless we do something incorrectly.
And so then they're looking for like, okay, you, Larry, you weren't doing it right. You messed it up for everybody.
Right, or the priestess or the priest, it's you must have said the wrong words, your invocation.
Right,
See,
was
and
wrong.
that's the sympathetic, right? And
Right, okay.
so remember, like, the word invocation, that comes over into Christian mythology, and there's an invocation,
Right. Taking
and
the sacrament and all
if
that,
you know the Latin, I mean, the word for voice is voca.
Voca.
Invocation means to
Oh, that makes
call.
sense. Yeah.
And yes, we are calling on the gods. We're invoking them sympathetically,
Sympathetically, yeah.
to do their thing.
Right.
Psychologically, that is the illusion of control. It's like, see,
Right.
that's the background. It's like we don't have control over the weather, we don't have control over this, but we have control over our invocation,
Right.
and
So we'll do that.
there is something we can do,
Dang.
and
So it's comforting.
that's the magic, which is again why the rituals survive so long, is that You're telling us that we have to stop doing our invocation?
But then we
Don't you
won't
know
have
how
food,
bad you know how
right?
bad that will be? Like, how can you do ask that of people? It's like, no, we're gonna have the Beltane fires like we always have,
Yeah, no matter what you
and
say,
we're gonna have the maypole is also a sympathetic act that also
Well, yeah.
has to do with reproduction. It is interesting. All Neolithic cultures all over the world have these rites of spring, and the other word is fertility rites,
Right.
to invoke the participation
Of the
activity
gods.
of the
Yeah.
gods.
Okay. Well, talking about gods, I was interested in your reflection on the specific gods that they had mentioned. So they talked about the one in particular. What was his name? Belenos? Belenus. So it says, while Belenus is closely related to the Roman Apollo, a god of light and the sun in Celtic culture, Belenus was associated with fountains, health, and the pastoral lifestyle. Belenus is associated with the phallic shape, stones, horses, and the oak. He was one of the Celtic high gods, known in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, France, Italy, Spain, England, and elsewhere. He was alternately named Belene, Belenos, Belenus, and inscriptions to him can be found at many sites all over France, Italy, and Europe, even some in North America. And this is what I thought was really funny. There's a site in New Hampshire called Mystery Hill, which is a 30-acre complex, which is believed to have been a ritual site for early European explorers. And there's a stone tablet there, which has been an inscription that translates to dedicated to Bel. So what do you know about
Well,
Belenus?
the New Hampshire part, but that's called America's Stonehenge.
Okay. I
And
was trying to think if we've been there before, and I
we
just.
have, I took you there. And essentially, it's a marketing gimmick.
I mean, that makes sense.
And this mythical tablet that was discovered, buried, and no.
So was it really made in the 1600s, or did somebody like.
No.
No, okay.
No. But it's a good story. And also that, in fact, people who consider themselves some form of neo-pagans go every solstice there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so it doesn't matter if it's real or not real.
Still has power if you give it power. Yeah.
People need that. Why not there, right?
Why not there? Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing anything for the solstice yet. I might have to go check it out.
Okay, but no, I have no memory of Belenus, but
Okay.
there is a mythological tradition of the wild man,
Ooh, okay.
and a bit again they get blended. The god of the oak tree,
Yeah.
for instance, in Norse mythology, Odin is the god of the oak tree.
Oh.
There's another mythological figure called the Horned Man.
The horn, so like a deer or a.
Yes, the stag ears
Yeah.
and the sort of the cloak is made of the stag and hangs over
Right.
his head, and there's a whole
Okay.
now what is all that? And again, you remember we said Neolithic religions were actually based on the feminine, not the masculine.
Yeah.
So who is this guy
Right.
walking around? Well, but see how he is this memory of the shaman,
Oh, okay.
right?
So the spiritual guy walking around in the woods.
Yes, in the woods, like
I'm
Paleolithic people.
yeah, I it's bringing up this image of Lord of the Rings, not Gandalf's like creepy like the other wizard that he talks to that just like t runs around eating mushrooms and talking to all the animals.
Yes, what's his name? The Brown. He's,
Yeah, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but
I can't either. Sure, that's it.
I'm
Well, and
picturing
then
him, yeah.
wizards in general are the echo of the shaman. That's what a wizard
Right.
is—the echo of the
Yeah.
shaman. And that's why a
Okay.
witch is also
Right.
the
The
echo
female form, yeah.
of of the shaman, people, I mean, seek spiritual guides. So that's why this, and again, it's a sort of thinking, the real wisdom is the wisdom of nature.
Yeah,
So
I really like that.
that this person,
It's
well,
part of nature.
I mean, in the Christian story, that's also John the Baptist, who ate locusts and, you know, lived in the desert, and this strange character in a wonderful way. That's Bellinas,
Okay.
right?
And is that different than like the Green Man? Is he Green Man
No.
also that, or is
Yes, the
he?
Green Man is also that. These are
Okay.
all, I would say, yeah, the Green Man is probably an inclusive thing that you could say all of these are versions of
Versions.
the Green Man.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, it was trying, the book I think was trying to say that the name Beltane came from Belinus, and I think it's similar to Ostara. And I actually saw an article after we did Ostara that was about how a guy in the 80s like totally made up the goddess Oster, just like made it up in a book with no reference whatsoever. And it made me laugh. So I'm sure it's Belinus's relation to Beltane is of a similar nature here, where somebody said it and then it's just stuck.
Well, it does say here, at least in Wikipedia, that Beltane is also the name of, in Gaelic, the month of May.
Oh.
Is Beltane.
Huh. Well, that's a better connection than Belinus, I think. It's just the name of the month. That makes perfect sense. So I'm just looking through my questions here. I think I want to talk a little bit more about sacred fire and what sacred fire is and why it's so important. We talked about it a little bit, but bonfires again are a huge part of this celebration, and fire as an archetype, basically, right?
You remember when we talked about Campbell's four functions of myth? And so now let's say a Neolithic myth, right? And so it's before the Bronze Age. There are no large structures. You know, Neolithic people did not build large structures, except at
Stonehenge.
Henge and
Yeah.
the standing stones all over the world. I mean, it isn't just Stonehenge. I mean, standing stones are a thing from Neolithic culture, so they would erect stones. So it has to do with invoking a sense of awe and wonder. And so if you can't build a temple, let us say, there are no Neolithic temples, you can have a very large fire.
And that will create that
And
awe.
it is impressive. I mean, it
Yeah.
is. And so, of course, it's on a holiday because it creates a very special, it's a very special thing, you know, that
Yeah.
only happens at the sacred time. And then the whole community comes, right? Everybody comes to
To
participate
celebrate.
and to see the fire. And
Yeah.
so that's one sort of cultural mythic aspect. In the long run, let's say Jung says fire is a libido image.
Oh, really? Well, you had talked about it being sort of masculine in nature, so.
Well, right, and then I guess we have to do an episode on libido sometime
At some point, yeah.
to really do this. Well, but Jung's thing is actually for Freud, it's very masculine, absolutely. But Jung is saying, you know, libido is psychic energy. It does not
Oh, psychic energy. I like that.
that takes many forms.
Yeah, I like it.
But
Psychic energy. That's probably my favorite description so far.
as opposed to Freud's sexual theory, as it's called. So, I mean, yes, we worship libido in the sense that, and libido is mysterious because it has to do with the energy that you feel inside. And where does it come from and where does it go? And why is it there sometimes and then
Right.
it's
It's
not
not
there?
there.
That's the mysterious part. And then that it moves around. That's called the transformation of libido. It is sort of attached to one thing and then it is
It
attached
moves.
to another thing.
Right.
And who causes, what is going on? And
Right.
there's an idea that, of course, it is not the ego. The ego cannot control libido. Like, do I feel into
Right.
this today? And you
Right.
can't control that
Right.
consciously. You can't,
Consciously.
like, I am making
Huh.
a decision to be into this right now.
Right.
But, well,
Doesn't work like that.
you can try to force it, but you either feel it or you don't feel it, and that's the libido.
And is it inherently a human thing, or is it something that we can see, like, can we have a herd of cows and you want the bull to make lots of babies with the mama cows, but it maybe doesn't like a certain cow or something like that. Can it transfer to animals like that, or is it strictly human?
Well, Jung would say that instinct is our, in human beings too, or our animal side,
Yeah,
where
right.
the libido is automatic without conscious intervention. It
So it's
flows.
part of instinct. It's like linked.
That an instinct libido flows along ancient predetermined channels. I'm trying to keep this PG rated,
We
but
don't
it's
necessarily have to. We can put an explicit on it here if we need to,
oh,
but
so I mean, speaking of instinct and the bull and the herd, right? It's like, well, the libido question is, well, why is the bull kind of sexually aroused, let us say, sometimes,
Right.
but not other times,
Yeah.
and it's
And
like.
that's
And like we have to have some control over that because
right. We need to make calves.
we need
Like, we need
some, yeah,
more babies so we can keep eating.
right. So what is going on with you? Right? How do we, and then here's the, how do we induce, how do we invoke that energy? See,
Into the bowl, right?
there's the libido.
Okay, so we pass them through the
We
fires
pass
at
them
Beltane,
through the fires.
and that will get him aroused enough to make more baby calves. That's the plan.
If the sympathetic magic
Works, yeah.
works, yes.
If we say the right invocation. Okay.
So, I mean, let's think about that, right? That fire is like libido. I mean, the analog with fire is that it is a force. It is a power.
Right, but it's fleeting and destructive.
Well, and that human beings, I mean, to this day, have a sense that, oh, well, we have control of fire. And then it's like, actually, if you live in a
Wildfires,
Neolithic village,
right?
FYI, there's no fire department.
Right, your hut burns down, it's gonna burn down. There's nothing stopping that.
And everybody has a hearth and a
Right?
fire in their house.
Right.
Everybody.
Yeah, because it's the only way that you can be warm or cook or do anything.
And then you say, well, so we have control over it because we keep it where it's supposed to be, except see, there's this,
Except sometimes
it jumps out. It jumps out like it's alive.
Like an ember and
Like fire is alive, like it jumps out. And see, that's this feeling of fire being alive, mysterious, energetic, very energetic.
I love that. Do you remember Howl's Moving Castle at all? It's the Miyazaki.
No,
Well, there's the fire demon Calcifer,
okay.
and he has the main character had gave him his heart so that they're connected, and the female character is giving the heart back to the main character, and she's holding it, and it's the fire demon, and she says it feels like a little heartbeat making that connection to the flames, or like heartbeats.
I like that Murasaki is obviously really connecting with the deeper aspect of the fire image,
Yeah, for sure. We'll
right?
have
It's
to rewatch that one with you,
like
yeah.
it is alive. It is
Yeah.
alive. And it is a power, it is a force. And so there you go. That let's try that and see if that invokes
Right.
what we're trying to invoke here.
Yeah. Well, Dad, that was certainly a lot to talk about, and it's given me quite a few good ideas for more episodes coming up. And do you have any last words or anything else that you want to communicate about Beltane slash spring rites?
Sure. Let's just stop for a minute to reflect on modern secular culture. So, in the episode on myth, we talked about the life cycle of myth and the birth and elaboration, but then the death of myth, and that we live in a culture where there's a great death of myth, so that we don't really have holidays, holy days, because nothing is holy. I mean, a holiday is just a chance to have food and
See friends
see friends and go to the Caribbean,
and have the day off of work, yeah.
and ha it has none of the old sense of this invigoration of libido, which is also in the sociological sense the binding together of the community in like a Beltane celebration.
Yeah, bringing people together.
By not having that, we're losing out on our own inner experience of enlivening, right? It's like every day is the same, and no day has a more meaning than another day.
Yeah,
It's
it's kind of sad.
start 8 3 2 1.415. It's like
Just another day.
that's what a day is, right? And then, okay, yeah, I get it that when you leave Earth, everything is so Earth-centric, geocentric, and then if you're an intergalactic kind of civilization that doesn't work, they have all Earth references. So it's purely scientific with no mythological overtones.
Did they have holidays in Star Trek? I'm trying to rack my brain if they ever celebrate a holiday. I know they have parties on weddings and stuff, but I don't.
Yeah, well, at least Next Gen did a good job with the cultural piece that people brought holidays from their own culture and
Yeah, I remember
celebrated
there's a
those.
Klingon one, right?
There's many, many Klingon ones. They really developed that mythology, and different cultures had different holidays. So they brought that in. And then, is that true in the future? There will still be holy days. And that would be somewhat a return to myth and a return to instinctual functioning to have some sympathetic way of participating in something greater than ourselves.
Yeah, I really like that, Dad. It's a great way to sum it up. Okay, well, we'll be back next week with another topic, and I appreciate you talking to me about Beltane.
Great. See you next week.
All right, bye, Dad.
Bye.
Well, thank you so much for tuning in. Happy Beltane if you celebrate. As always, we would love to hear from you. If you want to give us an email, send it over to a Jungianandawitch at gmail.com. You can find more out about us at our website at ajungianandawitch.com. We also have an Instagram that's ajungianandawitch. You can give us a follow over there to find out when new episodes are being launched. If you want to hear more from me, Molly, you can head over to my website, queenofcupsapothecary.com. If you want more from Dad, head over to his YouTube channel, History of Ideas. So thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate all of you taking a listen, and we'll be back next week.